You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all?
Yeah. The government cares about
they
you.
They ain't giving up a second thought about you, no. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell
ghetto
me.
People.
You gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Ghetto people. With your life,
running like a rare disease,
I'm running like a rare disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself,
stop doing what you're doing to yourself. Yo. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotel family, hope everything is well for you today. Hope you're going to have a good day, a good weekend. Hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it's not, and it has to get done, you will get it done because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. And that's why we love you, admire you, respect you, support you, because you get it done and you do it safely. Other programming we have here, well, no, African Perspectives is here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Of course, there's a shortcut. And I know we always like shortcuts. Just put in at the top in of the whatever you use, Google, you know, I don't know, whatever you use. Just put in babaoshi.net, babaoshi.net, and those programs will come up for you that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. On Mondays from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Kamal and Muia Kamban and Itaki Kamban. From 8 to 9 on Mondays. From 9 to 10 on Mondays, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays from 8 to 10, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers, Black Reality Think Tank. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays. If it's Friday, today's Friday, oh, at 8 p.m. this evening, brothers and sisters, it will be Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays from 7 to 9 on Saturdays, the Sankofa Elders Council. On Sunday, once again at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Get from WeBuyBlack.com. I was going to go a little bit deeper into that, but I didn't want to get, you know, all upset because... We should have been had a supermarket here. It should have been one here. I've been here 7 years. It's a damn shame that we don't have a supermarket. We should have service stations with convenience stores. We should have all of those things that we buy. Okay, yeah, we got beauty salons and barbershops. A few other businesses here or there. At least we do have hair care product, beauty product stores here. Some places don't have them.
they're all Korean. You know, in some places they're set up like that. You know, the American African people work in our fronts, just like some people, like some funeral homes, their fronts. Man, I tell you, Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bomani Tayemba has been doing outstanding work in helping our brothers and sisters get an idea about what it means, to go home and experience going home. His next trip upcoming is April 1st through 11th, going to Senegal and Gambia. And then from May 24th to June 5th, Ghana. And then from November 17th through the 28th, Tanzania. Brothers and sisters, go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Everything that you need to make that trip of a lifetime is on that page. But if you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. Africa for the Africans. So give my good brother Bomani a call at 404-931-9429. That's 404-931-9429. Africa for the Africans.org. Habashah Incorporated.org. Habashah Incorporated.org. Helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. That's right. And the programs that they have, the Kashi Project in Africa, the buildings are up. Just go to the website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. The programs that they have here in the Atlanta area, Habashah Works, Black to Our Roots, The Golden Grower, Sustainable Seeds, and the Urban Green Jobs. Brothers and sisters, Habashah Incorporated.org. The LEDGE Group. LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. The LEDGE Group. They deal with the four areas of human existence: food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects going on in African countries, six African countries, with over 172 people employed and over 260 members. Become a member of the LEDGE Group. In fact, if you are a member, you have the opportunity to buy land in Tanzania. $250 an acre. You have the opportunity to buy land in Africa. That's right, in Tanzania, man. Ah, man. That's the first thing on my list to go is Tanzania. Maybe I might make it there this year. Couldn't make it with the Watoto, with the Belezi. And those young men did a great job. You know, they tried to conquer at least a little bit of that mountain, Kilimanjaro. Some of them couldn't make it. I know, I with my breathing situation, you know I wasn't going to be able to do nothing, you know. But brothers and sisters, the LEDGE Group, Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. Abibiutumi, ABIBITUMI.com, ABIBIUTUMI.com. Go to ABIBIUTUMI.com, brothers and sisters. Great news feed, groups, forums, shops, events, shopping, you know, all kinds of good stuff. The offering languages, IFA. African languages, even Kiswahili, and Medunetra. Go to Abibiutumi, ABIBITUMI.com, ABIBIUTUMI.com. Sema Pharmacy, SMAIFARMACY. That's SMAIFARMACY. Sema Pharmacy, Segmet Medicine Awakens in Hope, Imhotep. That's what Sema means. Segmet Medicine Awakens Imhotep. Brothers and sisters, if you are wanting to change your lifestyle, this is the website to go to. SMAIFARMACY.com. Or you can give my good brother, Brother Jamil, a call and schedule an appointment at 731-327-6229. That's 731-327-6229. Or you can send him an email at SMAIFAR macy@gmail.com. Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta. I'm Ralph David Abernathy, across the street from Soul Veg, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. And they have delicious smoothies and fruit drinks and health drinks and all kind of pastries and soups. And yeah, yeah. And then on weekends, they serve vegan meals on Saturday and Sunday. They serve vegan meals, vegan food. And so a lot of it's vegan, sea moss, and all kind of good stuff. That's what Dada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. I was in the Greenbrier Mall a few weeks ago with my cousin. Had a chance to talk to Mama Nia. She looks great, doing great. Brothers and sisters, give her a call if you're looking for a book, because she has the finest selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, certificates, figurines, you got it. So if you're looking for a book, give her a call. If she has it, I'm quite sure she may have it, but if she doesn't, she'll get it for you. So give her a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. My good brother Gazimde Ajamu, Black Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. Give brother Gazimde a call at 404-519-8107. That's 404-519-8107. There is light in the black dot. And, of course, I give my brother a shout-out. I was in the New Black Wall Street Market yesterday. Stopped by. He wasn't in. But, yeah, stores being held down and looking real good. Good merchandise. Athletic wear with African-centered themes. Heru, Dogon, Starseed, the Moors, the Olmecs, the Rebels. Yeah. Great. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People. Last night they had their Thursday night broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU, Us Lifting Us. Their Thursday night broadcast from 9 to 10. Brothers and sisters, if you want, and you can go online to get that at blogtalkradio.com, but if you want to listen, you can call, or you want to ask a question or comment or concern, just dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us, their Thursday night broadcast. Homeland Village. This Monday, I'll be talking to Brother Abijah of Homeland Village. I look forward to that conversation. But if you want to go check him out in Macon, Georgia, just go to 2910 Napier Avenue. Macon, Georgia. Or give Brother Abijah a call at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. Homeland Village, a cultural gift shop. Brothers and sisters, that man has all. He's got furniture. He's got clothing. He's got jewelry. He even has a restaurant. I mean, you're talking about a one-stop shop. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's my sister, Shelly Amon, said. That's right. Son got a sense. The one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Give my sister Shelly Amonset a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. She got the stuff for your beard. She got all kind of stuff, incense and creams and lotions and all kind of good stuff. The umbrella, red, black, and green umbrellas. Sanjay-Aiti. Sanjay-Aiti. My good sister Gabriella Rill is doing outstanding work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti, up in the hills. They don't have a safety net. They rely on us, on brothers and sisters assisting them to keep the program going. Go to sanjay-aiti.org and look at the beautiful young people, the beautiful children in their uniforms. They deal with education, health care, sustainable agriculture, and entrepreneurship. Go to the website, sonjay-aiti, sanjay-aiti.org. Baba Baruti and Mama Yah. That's right, they are
Well, they also, you know, since this Ackerman School, the 14th annual science fair and science for survival, to dealing with obesity and other global pandemics, junk food marketing and advertising, the burden of obesity, dental health care, social environmental determination of health, the health consequences of racism, obesity burdens, barriers to change, biological memory of racism. Mm. That's going to be next Friday, brothers and sisters, next Friday from 1 to 4. And it's going to be a Zoom meeting. You can, the entire family is invited. And if you have pencil and paper right now, I'll be promoting this next week. The ID number is 721-3831-2587. That's the ID number is 721-3831-2581. And the passcode is 750-SF5-FV. And that's the Metro Atlanta Centered African Centered School Network. Next Friday, next Saturday as well, because that's on Friday, Friday, February 4th. And then Saturday, February 5th, you have Baba Baruti. They're having their men quarterly. And it's going to be identity. What does it mean to be African? A reconceptualizing framework. Baba Baruti. And that's from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Brothers and sisters, you can register. You know, make your $10 donation or $5 for Warriors in Training via PayPal or Cash App. And include the pertinent information, prayers of gratitude, your name, and your email address so the link can be sent to you. Okay, that's next Saturday. Identity. What does it mean to be African? That's Saturday, next Saturday, 12 noon to 2 p.m. And then Mama Baruti Inia, Baruti, Embracing African Spirituality for the sisters, sisters only, Saturday the 5th, from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., $10 for adults and $5 for teens, for the young ladies. The same thing applies. Put the pertinent information, Embracing African Spirituality, your name, and then, of course, your email address so the link can be sent to you. That's next Saturday, brothers and sisters. But on an ongoing basis, if you go to PayPal or Cash App, put in the dollar sign, YAA, the letter M, Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, to make your donations, or hopefully ongoing donation, to Ackerman Institute. The Ackerman Institute. If you want to buy books, go to Ackerman House. AckermanHouse.com. AckermanHouse.com. And we're ready for the Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. We're going to, of course, it's Friday, and we read three. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. June. Man, it was so cold. I was trying to think. I was thinking of June. January 27th. The police agent who exercises torture in contradiction with the values of his group and the system he defends, Franz Fanon. Contrasts are key to crafting an understanding of what we want and do not want to be like. Therefore, there is a practical necessity in making obvious generalizations about what is and what is not African. For without generalization, we only see different groups of people evincing unreal similarities. Europeans do not want us to generalize because then we will not know them as one people. If we think of them individually, they stay hidden as a people, as a living, conscious, directed force against humanity. Words do not have time to sift between us and them individually. It is enough to know the enemy's nature. the time to disentangle white lies from liberal half-truths and notions of multicultural reform of its white supremacist father is not on our side. The dire situation of our people face requires simple, honest, inclusive, but comprehensive tools which will allow them to more effectively do the nation-building work that they have been called to actively engage in. Generalizations best serve these intentions. Generalizations, when historically accurate, are statements that describe or characterize the vast majority of the members of a group and give an accurate picture of the veneration within a given sample or population, while omitting extremes which will confuse the truth. Affirm, I generalize with knowing and conscious intent. Affirm, I generalize with knowing and conscious intent. The Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. January 28th. The existence of a people can be measured by the extent to which they have confidence in themselves as a people, and to which their national memory is intact. Thus, to annihilate a people's cultural reference points, that is, national memory, spirituality, social and political acumen, ancestral icons, and so forth and so on, is to kill the people mentally and to subjugate them to dependency upon the killer who substitutes his culture for the culture of the victim. This is an act of menticide, the byproducts being intercide, fratricide, and, in the long term, genocide. Harold Pates. For warriors, being conscious means to be historically and historically aware that their people's present condition and future possibilities in the context of our personal and power and national power. Consciousness is a state of mind wherein we know who we are, what we are up against, and what needs to be done to overcome any and every obstacle separating us from where we are now in a permanent, empowered, self-directed, and self-defined sovereignty. However, the term consciousness itself is being less and less useful as a descriptive of uncompromising warrior's mind because it, like locks in community, have become more and more watered down due to the conscious and unconscious efforts of those who want to make Urugu's interpretation of reality into African way and vice versa. Instead, increasingly more warriors are choosing to use the word centered to describe the warrior's state of mind as simply defined above. Affirm, I do everything in my power to reverse the menticide within as well as that of any African in need who is determined to do likewise. Ashe. Affirm, I do everything in my power to reverse the menticide within as well as that of any African in need who is determined to do likewise. Yeah. Menticide. So, let me do this. January 29th. Does not history deny the possibilities of really civilizing and humanizing those who by nature are barbarians? Jetty Shemshu Jehudi, Dr. Jacob Carruthers, Baba Jetty. There is an Akan proverb which says, illness of genetic origin cannot be cured. When a particular or peculiar type of thought and behavior is found to exist among a people throughout their existence on this planet, when can we see that the roots, trunks, and branches and leaves are all marked with the same peculiar qualities and characteristics of whatever variable is being studied? So we can say that such thought and behavior naturally reflect those people's cultural or general cultural personality. And to be sure, personality traits run in families the same as physical characteristics, diseases, and appearance. In fact, science does not limit to the European lab tells us that these qualities are often so deeply intertwined that distinctions are not always as real as they may seem. The same is true of culture. A culture is a family. It cannot exist apart from the group which sustains it. Therefore, significant parts of the cultural framework, the embedded cultural sili, are congenial to the individuals who make up the people who created a given culture, who evolved as one with it, and who continue to give it life, all of whom are the same. Those who exist now are not different from those ancestors. Those who exist now are no less than the culmination of all the family members who came before them. They are living practitioners and defenders of their cultural inheritance. Insanity is congenial to Europeans. Insanity. Affirm, I have my ancestors' sanity because we are one. Affirm, I have my ancestors' sanity because we are one. Brothers and sisters, the Inye Sesim of daily revolutionary thought. That's right. Daily revolutionary thought. He is revolutionary. I'm a revolutionary. I love that. Don't you? Yeah. I'm a revolutionary. Brother Fred Hampton. Brother Fred Hampton. I know I've went over this topic before, but we're going to dive into it again because I think it needs to be discussed. I got a Atlanta Blacks. No, your Black World. I thought Atlanta Blacks said no. Your Black World. This come out of Your Black World, and it's an article. I don't know if you get Your Black World. You should. We'll try to get it so you can, you know, Atlanta Black Star. All of these things that have they present a lot of good information. They really do. You're a Black World and a Black Star. Well, in this You're a Black World, there's an opinion piece, and one of my good brothers periodically writes for You're a Black World. He's been on this program a couple of times. He'll be on it again, and that is Brother Bashir Muhammad Bata Akinyele. He took the name Bata when he went to Kemet. He was down with Kemet. He went to Kemet with Brother Oshawa Kwesi, and at the time that my friend and dear brother made his transition, Brother Renoka Rashidi, they were coming in while he was supposed to be going out, but Brother Rashidi made his transition at the beginning of their tour, in Kemet. Yeah, still pains me, you know. So the article, Governor Ron DeSantis, he's doing what Youngkin did in Virginia and many others. I think there's already like five governors of five states that have outlawed, you know, the teaching of critical race theory, which of course it wasn't being taught anyways. But basically what it is that, you know, basically what it is, just like the title of this today's program. You know, they're worried about their children studying something and that it is, you know, is a discomfort. So it's white discomfort, really? You know, just like Condoleezza, that skeezer, Condoleezza Rice, was worried about little white children having to deal with the pains of captivity and torture and rape and murder and thievery that has happened. I mean, see, you can look at this history in a couple of ways, you know? But to look at it honestly, to look at it objectively, to look at it historically, because if, cause you know, me, I'm looking at it from an African-centered perspective. That's how I look at this history of this country. And I have deep disdain and disgust for what these people have done to us, because I recognize they took our Africanness away from us, made us feel shame to be African, hating to be African for so long, erasing all memory, See, that's the beauty of the Inye Sasim. I just read that piece talking about when they, what they have done, erasing all your memory and making you feel alien. Here Africa is at this very moment, has all the world's resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and sure in the hell don't want to pay for. That's a Dr. John Henry Clark quote that I end the program with every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. But it's a fact. It is a fact. Everybody wants but us, pathetically. And it's because of that. See, a lot of times people blame us. They don't understand the root cause of a problem. They see the surface of the problem and they blame us. They don't understand that the long history of what has happened to us causing us to behave in this particular way. They don't understand it. So they blame us. Niggas ain't him. Man, that's that. No. See. And then when you deal with the real,
you always blaming the white man. You always say it's the white man's fault. You know, here you go again with that rant.
Yeah, well, it is. It is their fault. And so the word or the term critical race theory became very prominent towards the end of Trump's presidency. And many people were talking about critical race theory and going to school board meetings and having school board members vote down, not understanding what the hell it was, the fact that it was not being taught in schools. And the only thing that was being requested by us as American African people is to teach history objectively. Because for so long and still now, what they want to do is to whitewash it, Caucasianize. They want to Caucasianize the history. So, very quickly, I've gone through this before. But because Ron DeSantis, his governmental, his Florida thing is about to pass, and then, of course, Youngkin, when he ran. Now, what was interesting about Youngkin is that first he was down with Trump, because I believe, listen to this. To me, anybody who is running and is endorsed by Donald Trump, if they are endorsed by Donald Trump, they should be given no consideration of being elected. They should be considered, they should be off the ballot. They should be embarrassed. They shouldn't get nan votes. If you are endorsed by Donald Trump in that madness, in the lies, and the craziness, if you are being endorsed by, you shouldn't get now, what's his name? Herschel Walker. And he shouldn't get none because his ass is a fool to begin with. Apparently, man, Herschel Walker took a lot of hits in the football. You know, he might have CT, you know? Shoot. But if you're endorsed by Donald Trump, and there have been, and so Youngkin disassociated himself with Donald Trump, but he went on this critical race theory thing. In fact, the first bill that he passed, one of the first, is to deal with the issue of critical race theory not to be taught in the schools. But they don't understand what, and many people were talking about critical race theory, had no damn clue about what critical race theory really is. Derek Bell out of Harvard and a few other academicians, they talked about and developed that, dealing with what happens in the society because of racism. And understand something, there is no such thing as race. It is a human construct. Europeans devised the concept of race. Europe, in fact, you can go look up Carol Linnaeus and Johann Blumenbach. They devised this concept of race in stratifying human beings between Caucasoid, Negroid, Mongoloid, or white, black, or no, white, yellow, red, brown, and black, with them at the top and us at the bottom.
Africans, black people, black at the very bottom. That's why around the world, everybody disrespects us. Everybody hates us. Because Europeans have gone around the world with this bull and their idea. Europeans have gone around the world going into places and just taking it. They didn't come to barter. They didn't come to trade. They didn't come to, they just took it. They deemed themselves superior. They deemed their theology, Christianity, superior. An image of a Caucasian has God. And if you did not succumb to it, if you did not bow to it, bow down to it, they were going to kill you. Just like the Arabs. If you didn't succumb to Islam, if you didn't throw away whatever concepts and theology that you have, or your old deities, or your ancestor worship, or your spirituality, and embrace Islam, then we're going to kill you. Under the threat of death. Yeah. Critical race theory. So, yeah. White discomfort. Because they can't, just like I say this all the time, Jack Nicholson's character in A Few Good Men, Colonel Nathan Jessup, on the stand, being grilled by, what's his name's character? I can't remember what his name is. Never mind. So when I got these long pauses, I got to just stop that. You know what I'm saying? And just go to what I was going to say, because I might even forget that. But he's been grilled by him, and he says, I want the truth. Tom Cruise's character says, I want the truth. And Nathan Justice said, you can't handle the truth. And they can't. Europeans can't handle the truth. And they don't want their little children to feel bad about this. And this divide, no, damn it. This country has been divided, always will. Listen to me, always will be divided. As long as Caucasians are in control, there will be division. I put no faith at all in them to be righteous, to be just, to be honest, to be truthful. It is not in their nature. It is not who they are. And yet we keep just begging and pleading. Please, damn it, hell with them. To hell with them. Brothers and sisters, if you turn to this program for the first time, let me just say this. This program is unapologetically African. This program deals with independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. The motto of this program is Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. There's no other questions. There's no other alternatives. This is it. Either we do this or we die. Kick their ass to the curb. To hell with their feelings. Critical race theory, sometimes abbreviated to CRT, is an intellectual approach to looking at the United States society with a belief that racism is at the core of its laws and institutions, and of course it is. Critical race theorists base these thinkings on a few important observations. Race is a social construct that doesn't have anything to do with biological differences among people, including differences in intelligence or physical abilities. Now, granted, there are some physical abilities because of genetics. I mean, let's be real. White men can't jump. Oh, are there some Caucasians who could jump out there? Yes, there have been. We're talking about, once again, you know, a generality. They can't. That's why brothers dominate the game of basketball. That's why when you look at the evolution of the game of basketball, because all these Caucasians from the beginning of basketball in the 30s and 40s and the creation of the NBA in the 50s. And then brothers got into it in the 60s
it was over. I started watching basketball in the early 60s. Elgin Baylor, you know, when he passed early last year, you know, I did a program on Elgin Baylor because I felt the impact that he made. He was a transcendent player, the first transcendent player in the NBA because of his athleticism, his jumping ability, and his overall acumen, basketball acumen, you know. But not just in sports, in entertainment, in sciences. I know that you have seen recently where American Africans have done great things and other Africans at other places when given the opportunity, not basically by Caucasians, to hell with them, but just being able to use your ingenious, your creativeness of what we've done historically in the Sudan, in Kemet. I'm talking about when we were Nubians. Because before Kemet came, we were. We moved down the Nile. The cultural achievement was perfected and brought to a high level, a pinnacle, an apex in Kemet. But it starts south of there in Nubia, in Kush, in other parts of Africa. And then, of course, the Moors, of what we did in Spain, of civilizing Europe, when for 700 years we were there, while they were going through those dark ages, those medieval ages. And then in spite of captivity and in enslavement and dehumanizing conditions, yet and still we achieve, we rise. But let me say this to you. Let me say this to you, brothers and sisters. Our existence is not guaranteed when we're dealing with the people who no doubt will drop a bomb on your ass. Who are definitely planning to get rid of your ass. When they talk about the world is overpopulated. We need population control. That's why I ain't taking that damn shot. I'm not going to get no damn jab. I ain't saying shit to nobody else. I ain't saying that to you. I'm not saying for you to get it or not to get it. That is going to be your choice. But I understand the European. I understand their mindset. These some evil son of a bitches. And they believe in population control. They believe it. And they will do it. I put nothing past them. Now, if it comes out that I was wrong about the vaccine, and the vaccine turned out to be good and saved a lot of lives and saved a lot of us 2, 3, 5, 10 years from now, okay, cool. I'm glad y'all did. But the problem that I had, and as you know, that these son of a bitches didn't say a damn thing about anything alternative, about anything natural, about anything organic. The only thing they talked about, get the vaccine, get the vaccine, get the vaccine. They didn't say a damn thing about vitamin D and going out into the sun. No, stay indoors. They didn't say anything about inhaling different, there was a solution that the brothers and sisters were talking about, inhaling. That once you feel, because before the virus has to get into your lungs to create the damage. And if it's not in your lungs yet, you inhale that, you kill it, you're going to be fine. But hey, I know my good friend of mine, another African center brother, he was saying, listen, I'm going to tell the people to get it, man, because the people ain't going to listen to me when I talk to them about changing their diet. Pork is addictive. The obesity, all the things that could lead that if you got it, that it would be you because you had too many preconditions, diabetes, heart disease, and so forth. I understood that too. I truly did. I understood that too. Man, there's no such thing as race. Europeans created it. biological construct, but it is real in terms of what is happening in the world. And the fact that there's no such thing as race, because it became definitively clear after the Human Genome Project. The U.S. and all its laws and institutions were founded and created based on the myth of European, Caucasian, extremism, racism, and privilege, better known as white supremacy. The assumptions that light skin and European ancestry meant that white people were better and deserved a higher social and economic position than people of color. Because racism is embedded within our system and within their system. Because racism is embedded within the system and institutions, codified in law and woven into the American public policy, this racial inequality is replicated and maintained over time. Thus, systematic racism shows up in nearly every facet of life for people of different cultures. Dr. Francis Cress Welsing said it is in everything they do. All areas of people activity. Everything. It is the bottom line to who they are and what they're about. And that has not changed. And it will not change. Racism, or critical race theory, aspires to empower voices that have been marginalized, embracing the lived experiences of people of color through research, storytelling, and counter-storytelling. Placed in historical and social political context, is a scholarship that examines race and racism in a society and helps to determine and show what can be done to kind of correct it. Why was it politicized? Resistance to critical race theory is not a new phenomenon. No, because they've always talked about that. The article I'm going to read deals with like the bell curve and other stuff from my good brother, Brother Akinyele, after the break, you know. But resistance to critical race theory is not a new phenomenon. However, the term jumped into the headlines and social media feeds in recent years within a Constitution Day speech at the National Archives. Former President Donald Trump characterized education that takes a critical lens at radical and ideological poison. Trump went on to attack the 1619 Project and announced an executive order establishing the short-lived 1776 Commission to promote patriotic education. He also issued subsequent executive orders banning government contractors from conducting racial sensitivity and diversity training in the workplace. The executive orders were a reaction to the educational initiatives like the 1619 Projects or what the work of Howard Zinn, I don't know who he is, designed to examine professional development, pedagogy, teaching, and learning through a critical lens, labeling any approach that acknowledges American racism, white supremacy, white privilege, intersectionality, microaggressions, and the like is dangerous, unpatriotic, and ironically racist. Yeah. Yep. That's so, you know, we're going to deal with this. We're going to deal with this. We're going to go into the brother's article. Donald Trump. He's not racist. Please stop it. Stop it. He was sickening. That's what he was. He was sickening. He's a sick man. I never liked him. Never. All those years seeing him on various programs with his arrogant ass. Never. And to me, he's going to deserve whatever the hell he gets. And I hope he truly gets it. Let's see. We'll see how he's treated in a few more months to come. Number one, he should have been prosecuted from day one. You know. But you see how they do. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us to deal with this subject. And I want you to chime in on this. Give me some feedback. Let me know what you think about white discomfort, about worried about white people being discomfort with the truth and the reality of what they have done, because they can't handle the truth. That's what I should have named this program. Jake can't handle the truth, instead of just white discomfort, really. Okay. Brothers and sisters, we'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Well, I'm just
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. The OJs, Living for the Weekend. And, of course, Johnny Kemp just got paid on a Friday night. Yeah, it's Friday. Yeah, and hopefully the brothers and sisters will go out tonight and be safe, have a good time, and so forth. And, you know, hopefully that won't be no drama. But, hey, it's America. Brother Research West sent me a piece on this brother in Milwaukee, Theodore Edgecombe, in a case where he killed this Caucasian attorney, Jason Clearman. And it was an argument, and I guess he hit his car, got out, called him a name, and can't charge at him, and the brother took his piece out and shot him, feared for his life. But, of course, proving that you were being threatened to the degree that you say it's self-defense doesn't work as well for us as it has for Caucasians and in their history, or the police department in its history, you know. So I thank Brother Research West, and look forward to talking with him. Hopefully he'll call in soon. And because from based upon what I heard yesterday, he was denied self-defense, and he's going to be convicted of killing this Caucasian. Because also, too, you got to still understand, you know, if one of us brings a case towards it, it's got to be ain't saying got to be really ironclad, but it's damn near. And you got to have some corroborating evidence. You got to have some witnesses and so forth. If somebody came out and said, yeah, I seen it. I seen the man jumped out of the Caucasian man on the car, charged at the brother, called him all kind of names and so forth. Brother stepped back, tried to, but he had to pull his pistol because he didn't know what's going to happen. And then, of course, his wife said, no, he didn't say that. And no, he didn't do that. Yeah. So, anyway, other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central from 8 to 9, and then Conversation Reparations from 9 to 10. Then on Tuesdays from 8 to 10, Black Reality Think Tank from 8 to 10. And then on Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9. And then on Fridays at from 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then on Saturdays from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sundays at 7 p.m., once again, Time for an Awakening. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Yeah. Critical race theory. Not making white folks feel bad about what the hell they've done. Trying to rewrite their history. You know, Winston Churchill, I remember as a kid, on Sundays, can't remember the program, but it was about Winston Churchill would come on, you know. Because Europeans, Caucasians here, are connected seriously to Caucasians in England, because the predominance of this, that's why we speak the language we speak like theirs. And of course, there's constant on TV talking about the royals, the queen. I can't stand this shit. You know, and so Winston Churchill said, history is going to be kind to me because why? I'm going to write it. I'm not going to let the truth and those who have some objectivity or those who have a particular slant of those, I'm going to write it. It is going to favor me. It is going to magnify me. It's going to glorify me in all the things that I have done. Let me turn this page. I can't stand this cracker's face. Ron DeSantis. This, once again, is in the Your Black World. If you don't get the Your Black World, just put in a search for it, Your Black World, become a member so you can get this newsletter periodically. It has some good articles in it. You know, it's always ones that I've saved and so forth. And this is my good brother Bashir Muhammad Patah Akinyele. Republican Governor Ron DeSantis from Florida has truly lost his mind. He is proposing legislation in the state of Florida to prohibit Caucasian people from feeling any guilt from the factual education of European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, better known as white supremacy and systematic racism. And that's how my brother puts it in here, so I'm going to read it as he puts it in here. But, of course, you know, as I say, I don't use the word white supremacy because they ain't white and we ain't black. They Europeans, they Caucasians, we Africans. Black is a color. Dr. John Henry Clark said, when you speak of a lot of people, you should bring up land, history, and culture. They know Negro land, except in that One Piece, them brothers did Negro land. That was good. It begins with the cat getting a bump on the head, and he's transposed back to Negro land, where everything you get a. You can get a cab. You know, everything's good in Negro land. He calls this his bill individual freedom. But Governor DeSantis' efforts are just the tip of the iceberg. He reflects the Republican establishment's long history of distorting the facts about Caucasian supremacy and systematic racism even before the rise of Donald Trump. I just read to you in a piece there that Donald Trump, when they were pushing the 1619 Project,
because of 500 years of what happened to us, 400 years of what happened to us. Donald Trump said, no, we're going to go with the 1776. 1776 is our birth as a country of these great forefathers and us fighting for our freedoms, you know. But before I give a deep analysis of the Republican Party's track record of dogmatic racial intellectual bias, let's take a look at what sparked the controversy around DeSantis from the state of Florida. Brandon Farmington reported in an AP about Governor's disgusting bill on January 18, 2022, just a few weeks, about a week or so ago, January 18th. He writes, a bill pushed by Republican Governor Ron DeSantis that would prohibit public schools and private businesses from making Caucasian people feel discomfort when they teach students or train employees about discrimination in the nation's past received his first approval on Tuesday. Unfortunately, DeSantis has been severely miseducated on history. His acknowledgement of the U.S. has been completely narrowed by Caucasian supremacy and systematic racism. DeSantis is not alone. He's like many other Caucasians in America. Caucasian people, American Africans, Latinos, gay people, straight people, Asians, Republicans, Democrats, liberals, conservatives, Jews, European Jews, Christians, Muslims, atheists, etc., living under the myth of European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, Caucasian supremacy, and systematic racism. They want to suppress parts of the American history that teaches on Caucasian supremacy and systematic racism and their roles in the justification of enslavement of African people, segregation, racial oppression, and the enduring inequalities in the American African community. Let's be clear on the facts on Caucasian supremacy and systematic racism in America. Caucasian supremacy and racism and systematic racism has been in existence since the founding of this country and Western Europeans from the 1400s to the present. And African people have been the most victimized by their warped systems of racial, exploitation, racial discrimination, and racial terrorism. Caucasian supremacy and systematic racism have reduced African people down to the lowest realms of the world society, especially the United States. To protect itself from any fundamental changes to the contemporary African-American community, the United States racial caste system has created an illusion of American-African progress. Caucasian supremacy and systematic racism has made American-African people a permanent underclass. When you have a capitalistic system, in order for the people at the top to have all, there must be a permanent underclass who ain't got a damn thing. And we have been designated as a permanent underclass. I never forget Minister Louis Farrakhan speaking on that about 30 years ago. 30 years ago, more maybe. That we have been designated. And the fact that it's been there. According to the Brookings Institute, African people faced inhumane conditions under captivity and segregation for centuries. But America has refused to give African people any form of reparations for the damages done to us as a people in our community due to our captivity, segregation under the auspices of European or Caucasian supremacy and systematic racism. According to the Brookings Institute, another Caucasian think tank, April 15, 2020 article titled, why we need reparations for African Americans. Reparations, a system to redress for egregious injustices. We are not foreign to the United States. Native Americans have received land and billions of dollars for various benefits from and programs for being forcibly exiled from their land. This was theirs. And they were all over here. They've always wanted you to believe this land, just a few people here and there, and it was all barren, and it was just theirs for the taking, because the Europeans ain't going to pay for shh. Native Americans, indigenous people, have received land and billions of dollars for various benefits and programs for being forcibly exiled from their land. Japanese Americans, $1.5 billion was paid to those who were interned during World War II. Additionally, the United States, via the Marshall Plan, helped to ensure that European Jews received reparations for the extermination in Europe by the Germans, including making various investments over time. The United States pays still to Europe. It is the biggest donations from this country to any other place outside the United States is to Europe. It's just to Israel. It's to Israel. Billions of dollars. They have free health care. Free education. Yeah, exactly. In 1952, West Germany agreed to pay 3.4 billion Deutsche Marks to the survivors. American Africans are the only group that has not received reparations for state-sanctioned racial discrimination, while captivity afforded some Caucasian families the ability to accrue tremendous amounts of wealth. And we must note that American Africans was particularly brutal. Our captivity was brutal. It limited us from doing anything, prevented us from doing anything. What happened to us in the United States was far deeper than what happened to us in other parts of our captivity in Brazil, in the Caribbean, in Venezuela. That's right. There are Africans all throughout in Central America. American Africans are the only group that has not received reparations for state-sanctioned discrimination, while captivity afforded some Caucasian families the ability to accrue tremendous wealth. And we must note that American African captivity was particularly brutal. About 15% of the enslaved shipped from Western Africa died during the transport. The captives were regularly beaten and lynched for frivolous infractions. Captivity also disrupted families, as 1 in 3 marriages were split up and 1 in 5 children were separated from their parents. The case for reparations can be made on economic, social, and moral grounds. The United States has multiple opportunities to atone for this, each a missed chance to make American dream a reality, but as yet to undertake significant actions. And they ain't going to. They ain't going to. You know, we talked about reparations when I talked about ADOS a few programs ago. I hate to say the word ADOS, let alone the acronym what it's about, Descendants of Slaves, American Slaves. To keep American African racially subjugated Caucasian hegemony. Created, and that what it means, hegemony, what hegemony means, what's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine. I got it all. Caucasian hegemony created an American legal system that established laws to protect the racial discrimination of African people. Andrew Cohen, a journalist at Berkeley News, writes in September of 2019, an article entitled, Constitution's Biggest Flaw, Protecting Captivity, the American Origins of Racial Inequalities from its roots or from its original roots. Cohen writes, there is one key value not mentioned in the preamble, equality. This omission should not be surprising for a constitution that's supposed to protect and institutionalize slavery and that protected only the rights of Caucasian men. has a consequence, and he has a lot of links in here. So, brothers and sisters, I would say to you, please, if you get a chance to go to Your Black World, you know, and I'm not sure what the date on this is, but to Your Black World and put in Brother Akinyele. As a consequence of an American racist system, American African people experience hundreds of years of legal captivity, the legal outlawing of American Africans being married, the legal outlawing of American African people speaking, reading, and writing in our own African languages, the legal outlawing of American African womanhood, the legal outlawing of American African manhood, the legal outlawing of American African youth, the legal outlawing of possessing American African names or African names, the legal outlawing of reading, the legal outlawing of African cultural traditions, the legal outlawing of American African people practicing African spirituality, the legal outlawing of American African people practicing any religion, the legal creation of African codes, American African codes, or so-called black codes, the legal separation of American African families, the legal outlawing of American African families, the legal outlawing of American African parenthood, the legal criminalizing of American African leaders, the legal denial of education, the legal denial of American African people's right to their own property, the legal denying of American African people receiving business loans, the legal denying of American African people fighting for justice in the court, the legal support of American of Caucasian racial violence toward American African people, the legal justification for police brutality, the legal justification of the annihilation of American African towns, Rosewood, Tulsa, Allentown, Elaine, Arkansas. The legal justification for police brutality, the legal justification of annihilation of American towns by racist Caucasians, and the legal establishment of segregation. Yeah. That was legal. It was legal. That's right, brothers and sisters. And I don't know if you ever seen Slavery by Any Other Name, if you ever seen that. It's a documentary. It's Caucasian, wrote a book. It was a documentary on PBS. How they, you know, how they would set it up where if you were imprisoned, you could be put in prison for just loitering. And you go to prison and you were jobbed out. You were jobbed out to the mines, you were jobbed out to the railroad, jobbed out to a farm or a plantation to do work. And then you would spend time there. You were, they had a commissary, you might be wanted something, candy, cigarettes, and then you had to pay for that. And of course, it was a piece that where you could never pay off. Governor Ron DeSantis' movement against the facts on American history reflects the Republican establishment's agenda against critical race theory or anything that examines and exposes the role Caucasian supremacy and systematic racism has played and plays in our society, especially as it relates to the inequalities in our community. For some of us, we need an explanation about critical race theory. This is what it means. Critical race theory, and I explained that, and I'll read what my brother has here. Critical race theory is an academic and legal framework that denotes what Europeans and systematic racism are part of American society, from education and housing to employment and health care. Critical race theory recognizes that Caucasian supremacy and systematic racism are more than the result of individual bias and prejudice. It is embedded in laws, policies, and institutions that uphold and reproduce racial inequalities. According to critical race theory, societal issues like American African higher mortality rates, outsized exposure to police violence, the school-to-prison pipeline, denial of affordable housing, and the rates of the death of American African women in childbirth are not unrelated abnormalities. For decades, the cover-up of Caucasian supremacy and systematic racism has been directed by the Republican Party. There are too many cases to name, but for the interest of time, I will name a few examples. Lynn Cheney, the wife of former Republican Vice President Dick Cheney. What an asshole. And even though his daughter chose to go against Trump, I ain't giving her ass no play. I don't like her ass anyway. So Dick Cheney, Lynn Cheney, you know, her daughter's the senator from Wyoming. They want to get rid of her ass. And she's the co-chair of the January 6th committee. And a member of the ultra-right conservative American Enterprise Institute worked to make sure any attacks on white hegemony remained neutralized. Before Bill Clinton became president of the United States, she was on the board of the U.S. National Endowment of Humanities. As the director of the U.S. National Endowment of Humanities, she used her influence to protect Caucasian dominance in the world. Ms. Cheney targeted a 1980 PBS special called The Africans, A Triple Heritage, to be canceled. It was hosted by Alish Mazuri. Brothers and sisters, I implore you to go to YouTube once again. Yes, I want you to go to YouTube to watch the documentary, The Great Pyramid K 2019 on Kemet, of how the pyramids were built and, of course, who built them. I definitely want you to do that. But also, go to YouTube and put in The Africans, A Triple Heritage, with the host, Ali Mazuri, M-A-Z-U-R-I. Great. I've watched all of them. In fact, I think the last episode we had a discussion at UWM and a discussion on it. I watched all of them, and Brother Patel Akinyele is most correct. There was a big fight about this. Because why? He spoke the truth about European and what they did in Africa. He spoke the truth about it. I'm going to be getting ready for some questions and so forth. I'll be almost done in this article in a minute. Professor Alish Mazuri lived from February 24, 1933, and he passed away October 12, 2014. He was born in Mombasa, Kenya, but became an American academic professor. He was a political writer on African and Islamic studies and African North and South relationships. Professor Mazuri position included director of the Institute of Global Cultural Studies at Binghamton University in Binghamton, New York, and Binghamton, New York, and director for the Center for African and African Studies at the University of Michigan. Ms. Cheney led a struggle to rid the television airwaves of a documentary on African history, which illustrates European racist colonial interests in Africa. Lynn Cheney insisted that the National Endowment of Humanities end the funding for the Africans. Although she was not successful at stopping the funding for the film, Ms. Cheney was able to remove the National Endowment of Humanities from the film's credit. But in the day, a book used by the Republican establishment to conceal the role that European Caucasian supremacy, racism, and Caucasian supremacy and systematic racism plays in the oppression of African people is called The Bell Curve, Ernstein and Murray. It was published in 1994. The book's author, Richard Ernstein and Charles Murray, argued in so many words, that Caucasian people possessed higher IQs than African people. Unfortunately, Ernstein and Murray manipulated statistics. They negated and impacted of racist social and economic conditions playing out in American society, particularly in the American community. But Ernstein and Murray did this to argue that African people and poor people are inherently born with low IQs. But what's equally frightening is that they argued that the U.S. government should do absolutely nothing to help remove the roadblocks keeping American African people and poor people in the permanent existence of underclass. That was the deal. Listen, they so messed up. Why are we spending money? Why are we spending money on these projects, on Head Start programming? So they too damn stupid. Why are we doing this? I remember when Murray, not Ernstein, but Murray was on Phil Donahue's program. Vox journalist Matthew Iglesias wrote in an updated review of the bell curve, and it's dated April 10th in 2018, titled, "The Bell Curve is About Policy, and It's Wrong." The Bell Curve, co-authored with Richard Ernstein, is, after all, not a work of scientific research, but rather a political book written by one of the most prominent conservative policy entrepreneurs in America as part of a larger ideological project. Like several of Murray's other books, including Losing Ground, In Our Hands, and Coming Apart, the basic subject of the bell curve is what should be done to help the disadvantaged in America. And the four books all reach the same conclusion that, roughly speaking, we should do as little as possible. We should do as little as purely. Interesting is the background information on Charles Murray. Man, it's a good article. Good job, my brother. He gets paid well from the ultra-Republican conservative groups like the American Enterprise Institute to finance his scholarship to build a movement to attack African people. But what is even more frightening is that his scholarship is being used by the U.S. elected officials to justify doing absolutely nothing to remedy the inequalities of the American African community due to the effects of Caucasian supremacy and systematic racism. Vox journalist Matthew Iglesias continued with this. What's more, despite myth-making around Murray, nobody has silenced or stymied him. He is one of the most successful authors of public policy-relevant nonfiction working in America today. He's ensconced at the center of the conservative policy establishing as an emeritus scholar at the American Enterprise Institute. In 2016, he won the Bradley Prize, the Bradley Foundation, that's a business in Milwaukee, a prestigious conservative award that carries $250,000 stipend. He regularly publishes op-eds in the Wall Street Journal, New York Times Review, Coming Apart twice. Tom Etzel featured it in a column. He says it raises issues that are rarely examined with the rigor necessary to affirm or deny their legitimacy. And David Brooks recommended it twice, lauding that the incredible data along with analysis. PBS built an interactive around it. Afrocentrism was being attacked, was also problematic to the Republicans in the 1990s. If you remember this, the Republican established a book called, Not Out of Africa, How Afrocentrism Became an Excuse to Teach Myth as History. It was published in 1996. The book author is Mary Lefkowitz, European Jew. Not Out of Africa was produced in response to the popular and massive African-centered movement taking place amongst African people in America and the world in the late 1980s, which came about, which for me was very instrumental, and the 1990s. She argues that Kemet did not play any role in the development of Greece culture and civilization, which was foolish. That's how I ate that cracker up on in that piece in Milwaukee, at University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee, because I had armed myself with information that was relevant at the time by Baba Jetty, by Dr. Clark. Baba Jetty, of course, is Dr. Jacob Carruthers of ASCAC, and ASCAC, all kind of good information. The late Cornell. Cornell University scholar and professor Dr. Martin Bernal, an internationally respected writer of European classics, wrote Black Athena. His important anti-racist work was published in 1987. His book argues that Kemet played a major role in helping to create Greek philosophical, scientific, religious, and linguistic cultural traditions. The word Kemet is the original ancient African name for Egypt. It means land of the black people or the black land. But when European invaders, Greeks, Romans, and French, came into Kemet, they changed the name from Kemet to Egypt. Now back to Martin Bernal. Once he participated in this huge debate in New York City, with Professor Lefkowitz. The debate also included Professor McLean Rogers, Black Athena Revisited, and Dr. John Henry Clark, African Studies of Hunter College at the time. It was moderated by legendary journalist in 1996, and the debate, at the debate, Martin Bonal said this: "Not Out of Africa is an extremely provocative book." Dr. Bonal, who is Caucasian, wrote a review of the book, Not Out of Africa, in the London Review book, stated that, who's Greece? he wrote, Mary Lefkowitz, Mary Lefkowitz's concern or obsession with Afrocentrism rose and emerged suddenly in 1991 when she wrote a review of my book, Black Athena, for the New Republic. As a professor of classics, she was appalled to discover that people were writing books and teaching that Greece, that Greek civilization had derived or even been stolen from Kemet, and claiming that the ancient Egyptians were black. So were Socrates, well, I don't know about Socrates being black. Cleopatra was high yellow, how about that? The Afrocentrists maintained that Greece had been invaded from Africa in the middle of the second millennium, that Greece's religion and the mysteries were based on Kemetic prototypes, and that was called Greek philosophy was in fact a secret wisdom of African masonry. Martin Bernal went on to say, for this reason, she has published a series of overlapping articles denouncing the African-centered myth. Not Out of Africa is a compilation of these pieces, along with some added material and new arguments. The blurb on the back of the book proclaims to be a thoughtful inquiry, detailed, carefully researched, and fully documented. In fact, this is not an argument conducted with Afrocentrism, but an attempt to finish them off. To just dust African-centeredness. Impossible. Impossible. In conclusion, I'm not surprised by the Republican governor, Ron DeSantis, efforts to prohibit feelings of white guilt from the education of Caucasian supremacy, European, and racism, systematic racism. He reflects the Republican establishment's long commitment to this dissimulation of the facts on Caucasian supremacy and systematic racism to remove any politics from rectifying the current longstanding problem of inequality in our community. Hotep, my good brother, Bashir Muhammad Fatah Akinyele. We got some callers here. You can call us, give us a call, and what's your perspective on this at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Yes, brother. How you doing, man? How you doing, J646?
Yo, man. You just put me back on hold and pick up Ralph. Ralph wanna speak to you, man.
Okay.
I'll speak to you after Ralph do. He got a question for you.
Okay. 602. Good afternoon.
Yes, brother Oshie. Good afternoon.
Hey, brother Marcus. How are you?
I'm all right, brother. You know, I saw that interview, and I saw that thing on YouTube where Dr. Clark was interviewing
yes.
them two decrepit Mozungus.
Yes.
Dr. Clark tore them up, man. Dr. Clark tore them up.
I know.
But if black folks, look, all black folks have to do is use white folks' own historian. The oldest historian is Homer. Okay? Homer. And that was what, 800 BC?
Right.
800 BC, that's the oldest historian. Then you have, Manetho, he was 400 BC. See what I'm saying? So you use there what they said. What they said they saw when they went to Egypt.
Right.
You see? And you crush all of them. Use their own historian against them, you know?
Yeah.
So they're just compulsive liars, brother.
That's what I'm saying.
They're not gonna change.
They can't handle the truth. It's not in them.
They can't, so, they're not interested in the truth. They got to keep lying, you know? And when we start to assert ourselves, they get offended. Oh, you shouldn't say that. You're hurting my feelings. When black people talk about the oppression. No, in Tennessee here, they got a little thing going now. I think they had a Jewish book. You know, the Jews want to push a book here in Tennessee and in one of these counties. And the parents said, nope, you're not bringing it here. So now the Jews, they're all up in, they're all in uproar. But I said, hold on, are these Jews supporting critical race theory? I don't think so. You know what I'm saying?
No, not at all. They're not supporting that. Not the European Jews. They're supporting anything that would help them to maintain the position that they had with sympathy for the world, for what happened in Europe, for what happened in Germany, you know, and so they can maintain the legal state of Israel and get all the damn money from the United States, from people's taxes to pay to maintain that and for that to help them take more land. So, not at all.
I just had to close with this. So that Jew now that is retiring from the Supreme Court,
right.
Jew. So they said, oh, we're going to put a black woman in there. That lady that they promoted, Jackson or whatever her name. But she married to a Mozongo.
She's married to who? A European?
She married to a Mozongo.
Don't surprise me now. Don't surprise me. Well, hell, Clarence Thomas is married to. But that's something interesting about Clarence Thomas, and I'll get to that if I can before the show is out. But thanks a lot, Brother Marcus. Appreciate you, brother. You have a good weekend, brother. Peace to you.
You too.
All right. 267, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Oshi. I was just about to ask you, what do you think, you know, just talking about some things that are pressing today. What do you think about your president, Joe Biden, saying he going to nominate the first black woman on the Supreme Court?
I give less than a rat's ass about that.
Okay.
That, you know,
that,
to me, that's
to
more
that.
That's more about symbolism, you know, in terms of substance. It's all about symbol. Because she, you know, and just as Brother Marcus
that's
said.
You know that's your reparations, bro. You know that. Bro. Look, that's your reparations. Yeah. So when he goes back on his political trail, he don't want to hear black people say, I ain't do nothing for you. Even though she might be just a female version of Clarence Thomas.
I don't think she'll be that. I think she'll be more liberal because Clarence Thomas came out to jump right away a conservative. He was, in fact, as you can remember, Clarence Thomas didn't say a damn thing for decades he's been on the Supreme Court. He would say something.
Liberal.
He would say something if Antonin Scalia told him to say something or one of the other conservatives told him to say something. Otherwise, his mouth was shut. He didn't write nothing. He didn't put nothing forth. And let me tell you this, since you just brought that up. There's a big thing out now because his wife is a supporter of a lot of right-wing initiatives and groups.
Oath Keepers, all that.
Yeah. And so, to me, he should he should just resign from the Supreme Court because there's going to be challenges that will come to the Supreme Court that he's got to deal with, but yet his wife is supporting them. And that's a conflict of interest, and he should recuse himself or really he should resign because he ain't been shit on the Supreme Court since he got on there.
Oh, yes, he has. That's exactly what he's been. But look, let me tell you, I'm not going to use the SHIT word, but that's what he's been since he's been there. But liberal or conservative, this is my point of view on that. They are still wings of the same filthy, nasty, dirty bird.
I say.
And until we get that concept.
Yep.
I don't use liberal or conservative.
Yep.
That's
right
BS
on, Ralph. That, I agree.
They are wings of the same stinking, nasty bird.
Yes, they
are. As long as we get confused by that garbage that they spew from these boob tubes. And I just want to leave you with one more thing, and then I know you probably got another caller.
I want to get to Jay. I'm going to get to Jay after you.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, but look, let me tell you something.
you notice how the boogeyman of COVID is running out. People are not taking that booster and all that other garbage because Omicron and gay people, that is like push people. So that COVID narrative is starting to die down, so they need a new boogeyman. So they're using Putin now. But if you look at that whole situation, Brother Oshie, it's the United States that's doing the dirt. Putin just say, oh, no, you won't line up missiles along my border. It's the United States, but they're pushing it like it's Russia trying to, oh, come on. So, you know, look at that narrative, man.
Okay.
They need another boogeyman, brother.
Yeah. Oh, there's always diversions. You know that. Always going to be diversions, man. I was going to come up with something, man, to keep your attention away from all the evil and dirt that they always constantly doing. You got something
to
say, brother?
Attention to it.
Yeah, you got something to say, Brother Jay?
Hey, listen. You know, Ralph just made a good point about Russia and America. Now, America behaved the same way that Russia is behaving when Russia came over here and set up shop over at Cuba. So why is it that America has the right to allow no one to come near their borders, but Russia doesn't have the right? That's like a crazy contradiction to me. But, you know, the funny thing I heard today was that if Russia overtakes Ukraine, then the next thing you know, they're going to overtake NATO. I mean, it's just nothing more than propaganda. And here it is, people's lives are going to be taken away from them for what? Because the reality is, no nation is supposed to have a foreign nation in that close of atmosphere towards them to be able to be in a threatening position. I mean, it just doesn't make any type of sense.
Jay, it just depends upon
Ukraine.
It just depends upon who's the nation and who's encroaching who. That's what it depends on.
Because
you know, Europeans have done that consistently for decades and centuries. So it all depends upon who it is. You know, it's just like when Japan was trying to exert itself, the United States said, "Hold on, that's what we do." You know. You ain't gonna be up in America's allowed to do it.
Now, y'all was talking earlier about Clarence Thomas and his Mitch.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, the bottom line is Clarence Thomas, since the time that he's been on court, has done what he was put on the court to do. So I've never really had too much of a problem with Clarence. You know what I mean? The problem, if anything, I have with Clarence is that he knows what he's doing is wrong, but because of, I don't know, mental sickness or whatever you want to call it, he just doesn't accept the fact that he's nothing more than a tool. And having that ugly white woman that he has...
And she is.
To me, I don't see what the comfort is, because that's a dog there, boy.
Yeah, she is.
Lord have mercy. Yeah. To have to wake up to a dog like that, he deserves whatever he gets. Now,
that's why. That's why Anita Hill was so offended.
I you guess,
hit on whatever. Me. You going with that ugly ass white woman? You stop it.
Hey, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Now, as far as this black woman on the Supreme Court, so be it.
Yeah.
What is that going to do for African
Nothing.
People?
Nothing.
What is it, Jay. Symbolic figure
exactly.
Of the white man now being able, like Ralph said, to say, we done gave your black ass up.
Anybody on the Supreme Court of the United States,
they
don't have a African-centered mentality. They don't have an African mentality. They have a Caucasian mentality and the rule of law based upon what Caucasians has presented. And it is their duty to... to defend that. There is their duty to interpret that. They ain't going to do nothing outside of that. So, no, that ain't symbolism without substance, once again.
But this is the thing that gets me, she's now supposed to be the moral authority on changing the mind of an effing cracker. That to me is absolutely silliness. So now you're saying when you talk about a black issue, she's supposed to be the one to articulate it from a Negro P perspective, I guess. That don't do nothing for me. It just don't make no difference to me. What the F am I being happy because the master got him another tool?
Well, Jay said, Marcus said that she's married to a Caucasian. No surprise to me. Just like, no surprise to me she's married to a Caucasian.
She's married to a...
Yeah.
Oh, like your vice president.
Exactly.
So now he's definitely going to pick the black woman who has the subliminal hatred for black men because she don't even have the courage or the decency to sleep black. Well, now, what mother effing use is a bedwitch like that for me as an African, knowing that she don't even respect me enough as a man to be her mate?
Once again,
she's in a
position to argue points from a liberal standpoint, from a liberal perspective. It doesn't make any difference because the court is so overwhelmingly conservative and will be that for years. I don't see any other. I don't know who else now who can retire. You know who has the time.
You just giving yourself agita. That's all you're
because,
doing. You
because
just,
the three liberals.
You just
the three liberals on the court. Sotomayor and Hagan. They're relatively young. They still got at least 10 or so more years to be on the Supreme Court. You know. Now instead of the one we're talking about being appointed, he could appoint the young sister who's like about 40-some years old, and she'll be on the court for at least 30-some years, possibly. You know, I don't really know what her. But once again, though, Jay, it doesn't make any difference because the philosophy of these people is to support, to maintain and sustain white privilege, white supremacy, the white power structure, institutional racism and structural racism. It's to maintain that. They're not going to go to the court and challenge stuff and be a strong voice for the disenfranchised and argue and try to push for reparations. They're not going to do that.
It's to keep whiteness.
Yeah.
It's to keep whiteness in place.
Yes.
You got to find the best Negro that suit the bill. So for all of you to be so happy because this black woman is going to be on a court that basically is as racist
I hate
as they
this.
Come.
I hate this system, Jay.
That bullshit.
I hate this damn system. I really do because of what it has done for us. And I hate,
me.
Hold on, let me finish this. I hate it because of how we be jumping up in joy and shit because somebody, one of us is going to be on the Supreme Court or one of us is going to be on the money. I mean, to me, there's no doubt about it. Sister Armentia, what's her name, would be rolling over in her grave if she was put on the $20 bill. You know?
Oh, no question.
She'd be rolling over in her grave. And see, let me tell you, when they proposed this, she was going to be on the front of it, and Andrew Jackson was still going to be on the back. How ridiculous. Roger. That racist, some one of the most racist-ass presidents. I mean, you know, that's how they do. And to me, it's just ridiculous. And so, you know, and just like we're just talking about here, what we're talking about, with all these governors putting forth these so-called critical race theory proposals so white folks won't feel offended, you know. They won't feel offended.
Oh, that's going to be the norm.
Yeah,
that's gonna they're gonna make it the norm, to whereas you can't tell the truth about white people no more. I mean, you're gonna have so many lawsuits.
Well, one of the things you may be able to do that in academia. You may say in a public school or in a private school or whatever that you can't do that, but in the society, the truth will prevail because they can't stop the things that I'm saying. Oh, yeah, I mean, and they can stop it. They can take me off the air and so forth. I don't understand that. But the bottom line is that truth is there. The history is there. See, when 1619 came out.
They're setting it up to whereas you could be sued for what you're saying on these airwaves.
Hold on.
No, hold on. Let me finish the point right quick. I'm only going to take a second.
Okay.
It could be deemed as being offensive to the psyche of the cracker. By you saying what you're saying about white folks.
But see, it's the truth.
Done, you would be offensive to them.
I could give less than a rat's ass because it's the truth. I can put
it's your job now. To prove that,
and that's
true.
Provable. That's my point.
That's subjective.
But no. The truth is the truth. There's documentation of what they've done.
Subjective.
No, hold on, Jay. Hold on, Jay. It's documented proof about what these folks have done. They just don't want you to talk about it. Because they don't want you to talk about it. It's not like it's not true.
So,
it's not like it's verifiable. It's not like it's bona fide. It's not like it's historical. It's not like you can go get and retrieve the information to prove your point. So even though you may sue me, you won't win. I won't be, put in prison. I won't lose money. Just a point to be made that you just can't handle it. You see?
That's not true.
No, that is true.
That's not true.
That is true.
No. Let me finish the point. The point is, if it's deemed to be subjective, then the thing is, where's the proof? And that's what they'll use to penalize you because it's subjective. You got to be able to prove that it is the unbearable
truth. And there is proof, Jay.
To what's being said. And that's based on someone else's interpretation. That's what I'm trying to say to you.
No, Jay. Sorry, bro.
Oh, God.
No, Jay. I'm sorry, brother. You know how much I love you. But the fact of the matter is there. It's just like when Mary Lefkowitz pulled that Not Out of Africa bullshit and they dusted her ass. Okay? Just like Art Schlesinger. They dusted his ass. These people... Just like Ernstein and Mary. No, they can't come to the fore and discuss this. They can't.
Yeah, but
they can't do it, Jay.
We're not talking about a discussion, We're talking about going into a courtroom and verifying this information, whereas someone else has the right to interpret if it's the truth or not. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
See, a white man could know that something is the truth and still say that it's false based on what? Their opinion, right? Am I right or wrong?
Okay. I'll follow you.
That's all I'm saying.
But you can't win on your opinion, though, Jay. It's your opinion. I'm saying facts are there.
Oh, the white man did it all goddamn time. Cut it out.
I'm saying facts are there.
You know they do it.
I'm saying
the
historical facts are there. Not in this respect. Of course they do all kind of nefarious shit. But I'm saying in this respect, they can't do it. Listen, let me go, man. I gotta go because I'm already way over. I want Brother Elliot jumping on me.
My brother.
I know. I love you, brothers. Hey, Brother Ralph, I love you, man. You know it. You guys have a great weekend, man. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they've shown the hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Have a great weekend. Shem Hotep, means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahodie. Bifahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed day. See you on Monday. Peace.
Hey, yo.